to your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you. Reaching beyond the skies, running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized here with you. Now the song is for real, you will never let go, never let go. Oh, it's more than just words, love beyond my control, out of control.
Hands up!
This is real love, this is real love. And this is real love, this is real love.
Praise Jesus, Jesus, you make Standing there. And, you know, I've just been working so hard on this thing, and you know, I can't seem to figure it out. This maze is so challenging. I mean, look at it. Like, do you think you could do that? Because I don't know, I'm kind of just lost trying to figure this out. Wait a second. That reminds me of the story that we're talking about today. You know, in Luke 19, it talks about a story where Jesus says that he came to seek the lost. And not only that, but we get to hear a very specific version of when he went to seek Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector at this time. Huh. I wonder if he could help me with this maze too. Well, while I try and get to the bottom of this, you guys check out our question of the week.
Connect question for this week is, when was a time you looked really hard for something? Something lost that you couldn't find, and you looked, can you think of a time of when that happened?
You go.
Someone go.
I mean, you haven't gone first yet, Kayla. So.
Okay.
Well, it's your turn.
I introduced it. Okay. So actually, I was thinking about this. There's a time when I was younger, probably like Quest age. I think I was probably like sixth grade, which would have made my younger brother third grade, and he could not find a DS game to like save his life. He was like, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where it went. Also, my little brother Jake is known for being like terrible at finding things. So he said he had looked all over. He thought he had played it on the couch, couldn't find it. And I was like, I'll look. Did it fall in the couch? It probably fell in the couch. And he was like, no, I looked there. I couldn't find it. And not only did I like reach my hand, you know, but down the arm between the kitchen, find the game he was looking for, I also found like a colored pencil and like an action figure. And like there were multiple toys that had been lost in the couch, not just the game. So he looked all over for it, and he knew where it was, but he couldn't find it. And then we found it together.
Nice. Good sister. I think probably the one that happens to me the most is I forget where I park in a parking lot, and then I have to like wander around with my little like remote and pushing the button, listing for it until I find my car. And like, it's always like, it has to be here somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Some of those parking lots, man, get lost.
Yeah, I've been there. I think for me, as soon as you said that, I remembered this memory that I'd completely forgotten. And I was in college, and I must have been trying to come home and like get my stuff together in my duffel bag. And this was a very special duffel bag. It was one that I got for shooting 5,000 basketball baskets in a summer. And so it was either 5 or 10,000. It was a lot of baskets. And so it had my name on it, and it was like my prize for all my hard work. And I could not find it anywhere. And I searched, I was in a dorm room, so they're like tiny, right? And I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. And I was so confused. And finally I found it. It was like under my bed, but on top of a shelf. And so I had stuck it there thinking, ah, clever. This is a great place to put this because there's a little bit of extra space there. But then I literally spent hours searching for it. And I don't even think I found it until I like got back from coming home. It was crazy.
Don't you hate that? I feel like every time you say, oh, perfect, I'll remember, it's right there.
Yep.
You never remember.
Nope.
Never remember.
Well, what about you? When you were listening to that Connect question, can you think of a time where you maybe had to find something? Well, let's together say our memory verse. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. Psalm 139:23-24. You know what I love about that verse is it tells us that God knows our anxious thoughts, and he's not afraid of them. In fact, he wants to take those and continue to lead us into his way, which is the way of the everlasting. Well, I think it's about time for me to hand it over to Mr. Travis, but before I do, I'd like to pray for you. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for the fun that we've gotten to have already, and that you want to continue to allow us to have as we learn from Mr. Travis today. Will you open up our ears and open up our hearts and teach us exactly what it is that you want to say to us. In your name we pray, amen.
Hi, my name is Mr. Travis, and I get to tell you the story from the Bible today. Now, last time I was teaching, we covered a whole book of the Bible, 10 chapters, Esther. This time, we're not going to cover 10 chapters, we're going to cover 10 verses. So if you can, find your Bible, open up to the book of Luke, chapter 19. How you find Luke? It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So it's the third book of the New Testament. And while you're finding your place, let me set the stage for you. Remember, Luke chapter 19. So what's happened up to this point is we're in the New Testament, and Jesus is performing his earthly ministry. He's walking around from town to town, spending time with people, healing people, awesome things, teaching them. And you know what? Some of the people he chose to spend time with weren't the popular ones, right? Like, he was dealing daily with sinners, and he chose to spend time with the rejects, the unpopular, right? Society didn't want to spend time with him. Maybe even they hated him, but Jesus chose to spend time with those kind of people. Now, today in the story, that's exactly what happens. Jesus chooses to spend time with a guy named Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. Do you know what taxes are? All right, let's get started. Taxes are when the government or like the country or your city, they need money for things like to build roads or bridges or libraries or schools. They need money, but they don't make money, so they need people in the community to pay money, taxes, to help build those things. So back then, they might have had a gold coin, right? Something that they can give as a tax. Today, it's a lot easier. It's all electronic. When you go to buy a shirt, well, at the bottom of the receipt, there's a little bit of tax that is taken out. Or let's say when you're buying food, same kind of thing. Or when I get paid my paycheck, a little bit goes to taxes every time. I don't get it. But that's okay, because we need bridges, we need roads, we need schools and libraries and parks, right? These kind of things, we need them. And so we pay taxes. Well, back then, they didn't have any electronics. In Jesus' day, do you think they paid their bills online or with a credit card? No. So what they did was they had tax collectors. It was like a job. A person's job was to go around house to house or business to business and collect these taxes and give them to, well, in this case, it was Rome. At this time, when Jesus was around and alive, the Roman Empire was over the area of Israel. And so the people of Israel had to pay taxes to Rome. Now, these tax collectors, they weren't popular. They were hated because they were known for taking more than what was needed. So if I was a tax collector and I came to your house and I said, you need to give me $10 of tax to give to Rome. Well, how would you give me $10? Hopefully you had enough money sitting around, you could give it to me. If not, maybe I would take something from you. Like, we know that Jesus's dad, Joseph, he was a carpenter. So maybe I would take some of his tools. All right, fine, you're not gonna pay me, I will take something. And that's what tax collectors did. And sometimes tax collectors even charged more than they needed to. Instead of charging you $10, which was the flat rate, maybe I would charge you $12 and keep $2 to myself. So these people, tax collectors, got rich by stealing from people around them that they lived in community with. So they were not liked very much at all. So to set the stage, Jesus is walking from town to town, spending time with people. Now we can start our story. Luke chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho. Now, you probably remember the city of Jericho. Remember when the spies, they entered the land, and the first city they came to was Jericho. They entered the promised land, and the first city was Jericho. And they captured it, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, they rebuilt the city eventually, so this is the rebuilt Jericho. Oh, I lost my place that quickly in Luke. So, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So here's the story. Not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, he was like in charge of the tax collectors. He was making bank, right? And people knew it. And Jericho at that time, Jericho was like an oasis in the desert. All the rich people wanted to be there. It was a nice, luxurious place to live. So I'm sure he made a lot of money off of those wealthy people. So Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in the city of Jericho. And the Bible says he was rich, which means he got that money stealing from other people, charging more than he needed to for taxes. Verse 3, he was trying to see who Jesus was, but he wasn't able to because of the crowd. He was a short man. This is interesting. The Bible calls out that he was short. How short? I don't know. Now, I'm going to say a Bible joke, so please bear with me. All right, who is the shortest guy in the Bible? Are you going to say Zacchaeus? Because we know he was short. And actually, the Bible doesn't say that anyone else in the Bible was short. He's the only person in the Bible that was called short. So we know he's pretty short. Well, Zacchaeus wasn't the shortest man. Have you heard of Nehemiah before? All right, one more. In the book of Job, one of Job's friends was called Bildad the Shuhite. Okay, enough of that. But it is important that the Bible calls out he was short. Why? Well, back then, even if you read the book of Leviticus, the law, it says people with physical deformities could not enter the temple. And that the Bible calls out he is short and doesn't call anyone else short, maybe this was like a physical deformity. So possibly he couldn't enter the temple his whole life. And, you know, for being as short as he was, maybe he was picked on as a kid, and maybe people didn't respect him as much. And so maybe he got this job as a tax collector to think that he's going to get back at these people. I don't know, but he probably didn't have an easy life. Yeah, the Bible said he was rich, but he probably didn't have any friends. So I just want you to think about that. He probably can't enter the temple. He probably doesn't have many friends or any friends at all. People have hated him his whole life. It's not easy to do that. So, it says in verse 4, so running ahead, Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. So Zacchaeus is like, I want to see what the big crowd is about. Who are they following? Oh, Jesus? Who's Jesus? He knows the crowd is following down the road, so he runs ahead of them, climbs a tree to see what he can see. Verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I'm going to stay at your house. So first of all, who told Jesus this guy's name is Zacchaeus? Jesus is God. He knows all things. And this is really cool that he just knew the guy's name without even knowing him before. And what does Jesus say to this tax collector? I want to hang out with you today. Take me to your place. In verse 6, so Zacchaeus quickly came down and welcomed Jesus joyfully. Verse 7, all who saw it began to complain. Wait, Jesus is going to go hang out at this guy's place? What's up with that? He's a sinful man. Remember how Jesus actually likes to spend time with the rejects and outcasts, the unpopular, the sinners? This is a perfect example. Jesus cares about all people. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, young or old, if you're stealing from other people or not, Jesus loves everyone equally. And people in the crowd didn't understand that. Like, you want to hang out with that guy? Come on. All right, in verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I have stolen anything from anyone, I will pay it back four times as much. Wow. So right then, Zacchaeus is having a change of heart already. He doesn't care about the money. He cares about actually spending time with Jesus. Being with Jesus is starting to change his heart. This is really cool. In verse 9, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. He's an Israelite, guys. He's your neighbor. Don't reject him. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. If you were Zacchaeus that day, how ecstatic would you be? This is awesome news. This is great. Jesus says, I'm saved. That's so cool. And finally, verse 10, Jesus says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. All throughout the Bible, Jesus's adventures, the stories, Jesus loves everyone. no matter what they look like, who they are. He cares about each individual person, and he cares about you. Can you relate to anything in Zacchaeus' life story? Maybe a time when people didn't want to hang out with you, or didn't understand the problems you were going through. They just pushed you away instead of welcoming you. I know we all have. And yet Jesus, right there at the end, verse 10, Jesus came to seek, spend time with, and save the lost. Now, are you lost today? Have you ever accepted Jesus into your life as Savior, as ruler of your life, knowing that you are no longer in charge, but He is, and His plan is the perfect one? If you've never done that today, maybe today should be the day that you see Jesus for who He is, someone who loves everyone equally. Now, if you've never been saved, it's like, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, there should just be three easy steps. I like to think of it like the ABCs. A is admit, B is believe, and C is confess. All right, so ABCs, that's pretty easy. Admit that you are a sinner. You're not perfect. You've made mistakes. All of us can say that. Even in the Bible, it says, we all have sinned. And that's what the Bible calls it, sin, when you just don't make every decision right. Now, what about believe? So first you admit that you're not perfect. You believe that Jesus is, that He is the Son of God, that He did die to take your sin, that He was buried and was raised again after 3 days. Do you believe that about Jesus today? And then the last one is confess. Confess that Jesus is God and that He loves you right where you are. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. The ABCs are pretty easy to follow. Admit you're not perfect, believe that Jesus is and that He died for you, and confess, Jesus, you are God and I want you to lead the rest of my life. I want to follow you the rest of my life. If you can do that today, if you can say the ABCs in a prayer, do that now. What's stopping you? Tell an adult, tell someone around you, maybe they can help you. We want you to be part of God's family. He wants it too. Say the ABCs. It's that easy. Now, if you just did that, if you are new to the family of God, or if you're already in the family of God, let's sing a song of celebration together. Let's respond with joyful noise to God.
Thank you. We lift your name up. We shout your name out louder and louder. We shout it out now. We lift your name up higher and higher. We lift your name up. Shout your name.
Well, before we go into our blessing, I'd like to read just a scripture over you real quick. It's found in Psalm 34, verse 18, and it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Now, big kids, may you know the God who seeks after you, and Jesus, who is the way back to our Heavenly Father. You know, in the Bible somewhere, it talks about this guy named Jesus. Just kidding. Sorry, I like totally messed up. Should I do that for myself, actually? Thank you.
That's good. That's why I...
It didn't feel too forced.
Oh, let me dust off my glasses.
Amen.
Good.
Yeah. Hey! Man, that was a good
job, Trey.
Good job, Trey.
Proud of you.
I wish I could like give myself like a high five in the video and on this.